Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Alicia Live Radio Show. I'm your host for the evening, Alicia Jefferson Riley, and I am so glad that you're able to be with us tonight. We are doing a live show, and I am so glad to be back live with you. You know, we have been doing a rewind in between, and it's always good to do a rewind, but it's always good to be live and in living color where you're able to call in and talk to me, and I'm able to talk to you, and you're able to interact and be a part of the conversation that we have on the show. I want to welcome all of my social media partners through Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, StumbleUpon, LinkedIn, YoMob, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome you to the show tonight because it's just awesome to have you with us. And, you know, I love, like I said, the interaction between the two. So before we get started tonight, you know, we just want to acknowledge the listening audience and also acknowledge and send our prayers out to Orlando, Florida, in the wake of this horrific and terrible, terrible, senseless shooting again on U.S. soil. If there ever was a time that we need the Lord, we need him now. We need him more than ever right now because, you know, it's getting to be a point where you just don't know. And, you know, so I'm telling you, let's send our prayers, let's well wishes out to the victims, families, and those who were hurt in this senseless, senseless act of violence. And we just pray even, you know, for the perpetrator of this, for his family, because I'm sure that they're suffering as well behind this senseless act as well. So, like I said, you just need to take Jesus wherever you go. Just take God wherever you go because you just don't know in this time of day. And it's just a horrible thing. So, moving right along, I'm just so happy to have on the show again one of my favorites, I tell you. What can I say about this team, this wonderful and amazing team of filmmakers, but also they work in a ministry joint hand in hand. And if you ever see pictures of them, of course, you probably will if you're on Facebook and social media. I always admire them, too, because I tell you, they are just so loving. They're just and how they appear in the pictures, they are in real life, loving, caring individuals and just little lovebirds. You know, I watch, look at the pictures and I just say, okay, Lord, when you send me my Boaz, you know, Lord, okay, this is what I want. This is a very good, good image and a very good projection of what two can do together. So tonight I'm so honored to have with me on the show Apostle Dwayne McCoy, A. McCoy, and Lady Antoinette McCoy, two filmmakers who have been enriching the state of Arizona in so many ways. This dynamic couple has five beautiful children and are the pastors of Rose of Sharon World Evangelistic Church in Allendale, Arizona. Many years ago in 2002, Dwayne had a very detailed dream one night what he terms as a divine dream about the biblical book of Revelation. And from there, there was certain things that was birthed from that dream that I'm going to let him tell you about, him and his beautiful wife, Antoinette. And now the Lord has blessed them to increase because they have added a new division to DNA Film, and they have Holy Child Gospel Records. And they're going to talk about some of the artists that they have on their roster, as well as premiere a song by one of their amazing artists, Sonya Shockley. So without further ado, I just want to bring to you, and I consider and I call them my friends, my brother and sister, because they're from Philly, and I love them dearly. Apostle, Anton, Apostle Dwayne McCoy, and Lady. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Hey.
Hi. Oh, you know what? I am so glad that you can be with us tonight. And I just thank God for the both of you being here and on the show. How are you? How is it in Arizona?
Oh, it's great. Weather's great, you know. People say it's hot, but it's good, you know. There's one thing about Arizona, it gets hot. It's very dry, so it feels great. So that's really good. It's good weather.
Well, you I know that hot and dry. I was in Vegas just a week ago, and it was 110 every day. So what's the weather there now? Yeah. What is it like? Are you breaking three digits, or?
Yeah, it's been three digits. I think it's definitely like around 110, 12, 109, 10, 12 around here.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it's just awesome to have you on the show, like I said. And I'm excited for you. I know you're doing so many things in the field of entertainment, and God is increasing your territory and blessing you. I just can't wait to hear about it. And I hear you have music for us, and I can't wait to hear that. But first, for those who are just being introduced to you, I want you to tell your story. We got time. As long as you're here tonight, you can take your time. We scheduled you for we're just gonna sit here and take our time until it runs out, okay?
Right.
I like it like that. That sounds good.
You know,
sounds good.
And I got a preacher here, so you know that's a lot of time, okay? We got a preacher on board, so we're making a sermon out of this too. But I want you to introduce yourself to the people and talk about that dream. If I can have Apostle, you talk about it, mention that dream. And just how, well, let's go to the ministry. Let's talk about Rosa Sharon Evangelistic Church first. And tell us about your ministry.
Okay, well, again, my name is Apostle McCoy. My wife's name is Antoinette McCoy. As far as the ministry, when we got married back in 1997, 1998 is when we started out in ministry together. We started our church in 1998. Now, but in the midst of dating my wife, I was in the process of getting licensed, becoming a licensed evangelist under Deliverance Evangelistic Church. So I met my wife right while that process was ongoing, and when I became an evangelist, and I was dating my wife by then. So we got married. This is how we got married. It was beautiful. The Lord hooked us up. We met one day. The next day was engaged. We were, the day after that, we were engaged. And then, 6 months after that, we were married. You know, so.
Did you say the day after that? Wait a minute. I called the day after that.
Yeah, the day after.
We was engaged immediately. Oh, you got to hear that story. Apostle, can I tell her?
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Somebody tell me.
I'm
going to fall out of the chair. Okay, so this is what happened. We met in prayer service on Wednesday night at church, Actually, Apostle had just came back to the Lord. He was in a backslidden state. You know, he was a police officer. So he had backslid, and he came back to the Lord on a Wednesday night prayer service. And I was there. And so after the prayer service, I was walking on my way to usually give me a ride home after prayer service. And all of a sudden, Apostle was down at the pulpit in the altar area with him. It was him, his best friend, and a gentleman who was actually my cousin's husband. And so as I was walking about to leave the sanctuary, I had to cross the altar area, and I just stopped in front of these three men. And I just looked at them, and I said, the sister need a ride home. I'm telling you, this was the Holy Ghost, because I'm a bold person anyway. So God just used my personality. I just stopped in front of these three men. They were strangers, you know. And I just was like, the sister need a ride home. And so, you know, the guys looking at each other, and they like, well, you know, I can't take her. I'm married. Well, you know, I can't take her. I'm married. And so they look at him like, well, you're the only one who could take her because you ain't married. So he said, I'll give you a ride home. And so I took him to my aunt just to make sure he was okay. And so my aunt was like, oh, okay, he's good. He's a good one. He's one of the good ones. He could take you home. So he took me home that night. And make a long story short, he dropped me off, right? So that night, I'm, like, having all these feelings, right? And I know it's not in my flesh because I don't feel it in my flesh, in my body. I don't feel anything lustful. But I'm sitting there, and I'm bonding the devil. I'm rebuking the devil like the blood of Jesus, you know, because I'm bonding and rebuking the devil all night long because of these feelings I'm having, you know, about him, you know. And then he don't call me the next day. He don't call me trying to play the role. So, but he calls me the day after, and so now it's like Friday night, so I'm like, okay. So I asked him out on a date and took him out that night to TGI Fridays up on City Line Avenue. So we get up there, we do dinner and all that good stuff, and then afterwards he showed me where he lived at up in the Northeast and all that good stuff. So we're sitting down now this evening at his apartment where he showed me. Nothing happened that night. Let me just put that out there. Nothing happened. But we're sitting down on the couch, and I was looking at him, and he looked at me, and I just asked him. I said, you know, is this going to be forever, you know? And he was like, yes. So that was my proposal to him. Like, are you going to marry me? You know, will you marry me? Is this going to be forever?
You asked him. Wait, girl, you done spoke a new word for boldness. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want you to know. I'm looking at this picture, this beautiful picture of you guys. Like I said in the intro, whenever you post on Facebook, you guys are just the epitome of lovebirds. I'm telling you of what it that looks good, that is good. I'm telling you, I'm just posting a picture of you in this beautiful red dress with him and Grace Sue looking at you just so lovingly. And I want you to know, I said, when you know God has been and it's right, it don't take a man years to make the ask. But I'm going to have to change that to the woman to make the ask.
I know. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And so we was engaged that night, you know, and we was actually married 8 months later. You know, that week I had my wedding gown, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes, and you know what? You just gave revelation because I was just kidding. I was talking about it in the top. I said, you know, as I wait for my Boaz to come on the scene, I mean, like, you just gave me some new revelation. I mean, you know, no flip up in the air. Okay, but the thing about it is, when God has spoken, I think that's the optimal word, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We were ordained to be together, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, if I can cut in, I was previously, you know, I was already looking for my wife for a while. So, you know, and I was actually kind of like, you know, it's still in the relationship, but I was kind of like still there, but I knew that this young lady wasn't supposed to be my wife. You know what I mean? I knew that. You know, so but when I met my wife, I knew that she was the one. You know, I knew she was the one, and I felt the connection immediately with her.
Yeah. I mean, it was so deep. It was so God, Alicia. It was so God that when he was driving me home from church that night, I never told him where I lived. He was just driving, and he started driving. And he got all the way up there towards City Line Avenue before he realized, I didn't know where do you live? And I just simply told him, you're going the right way. He was already going the right way, you know? And telling you, it was just so God and so supernatural, you know, that, that's why we're writing the book now, Match Made in Heaven, you know? Made in Heaven, because we know we were ordained for each other to be married to. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There has not been one day out of all these 18 years we've been together that I felt like, this wasn't right, or, I need a break, or, I need some me time. It's like never. I mean, we have been working side by side. We have never been one day apart. Not one day apart since we've been married. Not one day apart. And it's just never been like, you know, like, I need a break from him. Or, it's just never been like that for me. You know, I don't have that kind of testimony. We have been working side by side every single day since we've been together.
What an awesome testimony. What an awesome testimony. And, you know, like you said, it was ordained. And, you know, and I do believe this, and I had said this years ago, that God in these last days are putting together the unexpected. He's putting together people that he's ordaining end-time marriages. He's ordaining and anointing folks because he's putting folks together for a specific task to do work in these last days. You know what I mean?
Right.
To kind of like usher in and to prepare for his coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's amazing because you know it's right. You can look at it and see that it's right. And, you know, from just Bible study, I mean, like, you just opened up a whole new revelation now.
I mean, it was amazing. And then check this out, how awesome God is, right? I didn't know until this was like way after we got married, or hun, you can probably remind me, but after we got married, then I remember when I had seen him before. I had seen him. It had to have been a year later because, see, I was only saved a year. But a year before, I had just got saved, and I was going out street witnessing, and he went out street witnessing. And at Deliverance Church, you know, they pair you up when we go out on the street witnessing.
Right.
And we was downtown witnessing, and they had paired him and I up. And I didn't remember him at all. The day I did not remember him until, like, after we got married, I remembered this, that we was paired up out on the street witnessing together downtown on Market Street, and he was on the bullhorn preaching. I was carrying the bullhorn, and he had the mic, and he was preaching, and then we switched, then I was preaching, and he was carrying the bullhorn. And and then after it was all over, you know, we all gathered for prayer, and then we left. And when we left, we got on the subway, on the train, going to North Philly. And I remember sitting down on the train. The Holy Spirit brought this to my remembrance, that I was sitting down, and I turned around, and I saw this young man with his arms, you know, like when you on the subway and you're standing up in the doorway. He had his foot up against the door, and he was holding on the rails. And I turned, and I looked at him, and I said, he's cute. You know, like I was responding back to the Holy Spirit to what he was showing me. And that was it. That's all I remember. And it was over. And I never saw him again for a whole year. I never saw him again at all.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
You know what? That is so amazing. But you know what? God, when God does it, he does it right. There is no mistake, you know. He is just an amazing, amazing matchmaker. He is the ultimate. All of this online stuff, you need to get on prayer. Get on prayer, okay? And let God do it. Because I'm telling you, there's no mistake when he does it, okay?
I'm telling you, it is amazing. It's amazing, you know? And it's just been crazy awesome ever since, so.
Go right ahead, Apostle. Go right ahead.
Let me move somewhere else. How you hear me now?
Go ahead. Go ahead. What was you gonna say, hon?
I was gonna say that you know, I mean, that led from basically that's how after we got married, we got right into ministry right from there, and we've been in ministry ever since. You know?
Yeah. Talk about your ministry, and let me just get the name straight. Rose of Sharon World Evangelistic Church. Tell us about your ministry, please.
Okay, our ministry is in an apostolic ministry. You know, when I say apostolic, we're not apostolic faith. We're just it's an apostolic calling. It's all about the gospel. It's all about, you know, Jesus Christ, really. And I guess what God's anointed us to do is to really hone in on who Christ is and help people connect with him and build personal relationships with the Lord. And that's kind of like what we deal with most more than anything. Your status with God, relationship with God, and the Lord has blessed us where the anointing is really rich in our lives. You know what I mean? And the Spirit really manifests Himself to us, and has been doing so ever since we've been together. And we have seen literally miracles and signs and wonders in our ministry, you know, manifest throughout the years.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's awesome. But I mean, to put it all in a nutshell, our ministry is really all about making people aware who Jesus Christ is, and helping people connect with the Lord and to build a true relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, and that's kind of what we're all about.
Yeah, that's what we're all about, you know, but it's also a healing and deliverance ministry. Mm-hmm. Since the beginning, we have been dealing with casting out devils and, you know, a lot of demoniacs, and a lot of healings has been taking place, you know, in the ministry. We've been, like Apostle said, seeing a lot of supernatural signs and wonders, you know, in the ministry as well. So along with, you know, the doctrine of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, we're also seeing the actual signs and wonders happening as well in our ministry.
Right. Which is the way it should be. It should be the rule of thumb or just any place or any ministry, I believe, personally. But, the Lord really, to those who really understand or yield to what the Holy Spirit is saying to them and allows God to minister to them and they receive what God has to say, the Lord always comes through. And if they need healing, you know, if you need deliverance, you know, it's like God uses us in that. The Lord has used us to deliver people from all kinds of situations, you know, abusive situations, abusive marriages.
Yeah.
I mean, things the Lord has used us for. It's kind of like our ministry becomes like a haven for people that's looking for refuge, you know. And the Lord uses us to minister to people and their needs and to help them deal with their situation in life and get answers and get their breakthroughs and whatever they need.
Well, it seems as though I know that you're doing a wonderful, wonderful work there in Arizona, and you know, I just hope one day that I'll have the opportunity to visit your ministry. Now, do you have plans to basically establish a ministry anywhere else other than Arizona, perhaps basically in your hometown, Philadelphia?
Well, we started out in Philadelphia. See, everything we did, everything started in Philly. We used to be called, we still, the parent name of our church is Ministries of Deliverance, and we started in Philadelphia, and we were there when we got, you know, we started out, and we stayed there until 2007, and so 98 to 2007, you know, we were there, and but the Holy Spirit had showed us that we were going to be establishing churches, you know, the Lord was calling you know, us to establish churches, you know, that's the word of the Lord came to me about that, you know, that, you know, part of like my apostolic calling and how to, you know, that eventually that's what we would be doing. So, you know, and the Lord showed me years ago when we were just, you know, he just got married. I think we just got married. And I told my wife that, you know, I see our ministry is going to be in Arizona, and that's where it's going to really blow up. And so, you know, it came to pass, you know, in 2007, the Lord called us out to Arizona. And so we are out here, and we established Rose and Sharon, World Event, it's a tongue twister for me. Okay. You know, the Rose and Sharon. And, but Rose and Sharon is a branch of, it's just one branch. Eventually, we're going to be establishing more churches everywhere. And so that's what the vision is, to establish churches, you know, everywhere pretty much, you know, in the United States and internationally. And that's why we call it Rules of Sharon World Evangelistic Church. So, you know, we have a vision from God to establish world evangelistic churches everywhere. And so it's coming to fruition out here in Arizona. And as the Lord moves along, you know, We'll plant another church here and another church there, and everywhere we go, we'll have pastors, of course, that we have, you know, in place to pastor the churches while we're on the road establishing churches and doing more of an evangelistic type of ministry.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now you have a beautiful family, as we talked about in the intro. Five gorgeous, beautiful young lady. Oh my goodness. God has blessed you, and just, you know, I had the chance of meeting your family when you came to Philadelphia the last time, and you were premiering one of your films, which we're going to be talking about shortly. And I'm telling you, they are the most adorable and just precious young people. I'm telling you, and you know, God has truly blessed you, because when you, like you said, your family is a ministry, the whole family involved in the ministry. You want to talk about that for a moment, lady, Antoinette?
Yeah, well, you know, they are beautiful kids. I always say that, you know, I like my kids. You know, a mother, of course, a mother love her children, you know. But, you know, I always say I like my kids, you know, because they are beautiful children inside and out. They really, really are beautiful. And I thank God for my husband, you know, who is teaching, you know, all of us the ways of God, you know. And he's a great, you know, role model for the children, even for myself, you know, because, see, I come from a broken home, you know, from the streets, out from Richard Allen Project. Didn't really have a family. They was there but wasn't there. So I pretty much raised myself, and I grew up to be a young lady that didn't have a woman as a role model, you know, but God gave me my husband, who was all of that to me. You know, he, believe it, my husband taught me how to be that woman, how to be that mother. You know, I had a kid out of wedlock and barely knew how to dress her and do anything for her, you know. But I thank God for my husband, you know. He was just there for me like that, you know. And through him, I learned a lot and still learning, you know. Again, I was only 1 year saved when I met him, you know. So he's been my teacher. He's been my pastor all these years, you know. Everything that I know about God came as a result of sitting under his ministry, you know. So because of that, we all had that, the children, you know, they grew up under that, you know, and so today they are God-fearing children, you know, and they have their own personal relationship. It had nothing to do with we made them sit down and read the Bible, we made them go to church and all of that, you know. No, it's just the life that we live before them, you know, that they take heed to, and they have seen the move of God. They have seen God move in so many different ways where God showed himself even to them, you know, to where now, you know, they have their own personal relationships with God, you know, that and it's just beautiful, you know, and it wasn't challenging for us. I say God raised our children. You know, Apostle and I have been so focused and so on the grind for ministry, you know, and our children have been there, and they have been seeing the whole everything, you know, and we don't have problems with them like a lot of other people have problems with their children. You know, our children don't desire the world. Our children, they have no desire for the world, only for the things of God, you know, and so I thank God for that, you know. That's truly a blessing, so.
Well, you know what? It is truly a blessing because, you know, like the word said, your children are being grown up in the fear of God. And like you said, when you have that in a family and when you have a close family unit and your children see the best example, of course, would be you and your husband, then, I mean, what more can you ask for? What more can you have there? And, you know, and they are just lovely, 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 lovely children.
They really are.
You have both done such a remarkable job because it's not hard being on the road, having a ministry, having a business, and raising five young ladies. It's not an easy feat.
You know, I really thank God how God strategically did it. He allowed us to be, because, you know, Apostle used to be a police officer there in Philadelphia for 10 years. He was a police officer.
No.
He was a police officer there. He was a police officer there. And it was about 2002 when the Lord called him. From the police, somewhere in there, the Lord called him from the police department where he then was full-time. But God allowed us to be full-time ministry and home and available to our children, you know, for all these years, you know. And it wasn't until they became of teenagers, you know, where we really started doing the traveling part of the ministry took place. So now they're of age, they're older now, you know, and I feel comfortable with Leo. I still don't like it because we've never been apart, us and the kids. So the traveling is, you know, initially it was really hard at first for me and Apostle with going without the children because they've been with us, you know, all this time. So now it's okay, but it's still, you know, after a little while, it's like, okay, we got to get home, you know. We're like being out on the road too long without them. But I like how God did it. He gave us all that time when they was just babies, you know, and it wasn't until they became, you know, teenagers and, you know, old enough to understand us traveling and that we got to go do what the Lord is calling us to do. You know, where it's not a problem, you know. So I thank God for that.
Well, you know what? I'm just looking at your family picture, and I got a correction issue. One is that you have four girls and one king there. Because, Apostle, I was going to say, now you and a whole world full of queens there, but you got a king there with you holding it down, right? You got one son, so you have four girls, four beautiful queens, four beautiful little princes, and one prince there. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So, okay. Well, beautiful.
But we do have another girl. We do, because we had a church member that, you know, kind of was going through something, and they needed us to take their daughter. So we do have another girl here that's like our child, you know? So we do have five girls in the house.
Okay.
We have
five girls.
Yeah.
And then you have the one young man. So, you know, God is still good. He is just so good. And you know, like I said, he will bless the fruits of your labor and just bless you all around. Now, let's talk about this dream. I want to talk about your dream that God gave you that eventually launched another ministry. It's a business, but your business is a ministry as well, too. In the form of being a super. Okay, no, am I going to go to a console? You want to talk to me about the dream that you have?
Okay, yeah, I'll talk about it. Well, let's see, I don't know. I was back in 2004, I think, and the Lord gave me a dream. And the dream I had, I was in the sky, like, you know, my body was in the sky, and I was, like, looking up above me, above, you know, the clouds, into the clouds, and I saw a body of a person that was skydiving, and it looks like from the distance, you actually could tell. I could tell it was someone that had some kind of a garment on, like a robe-like garment. Mm-hmm. His extremities were stretched out like an X, so he looked like an X, you know, with his arms and legs stretched out. And then I saw multiple people after that appeared in the sky, all skydiving, and then, you know, it's like more people, one after the next, another one, until it seemed like the whole sky was full of these skydivers, you know what I mean? And then it shifted from there to, I saw this dot, you know, like a bright star from a distance coming toward the earth, but it was so far away that it looked like a dot, but the dot was very extremely bright and very extremely bright, and it came into the atmosphere of the earth, and from the star was a discharge of energy that destroyed everything on the ground in his path, you know. And so, and then it actually went from there to I was in heaven, you know. And in heaven, I saw this man, a young man with dark hair, and he's really perfect skin, you know. And he was playing the piano, you know. And behind him was a choir, and we're worshiping with them, you know. And
wow.
Like when I came out of the dream, I knew, you know, immediately that the Lord had showed me the dream was definitely an apocalyptic dream, was definitely connected with Revelation, and the Lord had showed me the rapture and his second coming. And he also showed me the Lord and how the Lord interacts with our choirs and when we worship God and things like that. But that was the dream. And from there, I knew immediately what that meant. That Jesus, the Lord had appeared to me, had showed me the rapture, and the second coming of the Lord.
And you was having those dreams for a couple years, and then they stopped. They had stopped when we moved out here to Arizona. They stopped for a couple years.
Right. You know, well, actually, maybe 6 months ago, I had another dream where it was another rapture dream, you know, and I was in the sky. I saw the Lord. This time I saw the Lord, and actually he had come back, and I saw him in the middle of the sky, and how he was, you know, he was standing there with his arms open wide, and then and then you know, the saints appeared pretty much, but you know, I was spinning around the Lord. It was a camera shot. You would saw the Lord, and the camera like was revolving around his body, you know. So you see the front of him, the back of him, and just revolving in a circle around his body. And that's a year ago, you know, that I had that vision, or dream. And but you know, then before that, maybe a year or so, 2 years ago, I had another dream where I saw the Lord. You know what I mean? It's like I done saw the Lord at least about maybe 6 times, you know, in dreams. And he ministered to me a lot in dreams, and where he appeared to me in dreams as well. So, you know, and I know that's connected with my calling as an apostle, you know, and as an apostle, that's something that apostles would, that generally tends to happen to apostles, you know, they encounter Jesus in one shape or form, you know, in dreams. And so, so that's what happened with that. And so, you know, when we were pressed to do our movie, we knew that was the movie to do about the end times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you know at that time what that meant for you to, that you would be writing this epic movie and kind of like launching DNA film work? Was that all clear to you then? Or was it sometime after Lord had to speak to you to give you direction?
Well, it was sometime after. That was 2004. We didn't make our first movie until 2009. After we moved out to here in Arizona. I mean, it was like we moved out here in 2007. And 2 years later, mm-hmm. 2.5 years later, that's when we made the movie.
But at the time, no, he didn't know. But he told me back in 98. He told me back in 98 before we got married that, you know, we're going to be living out in Arizona. We're going to have a record company. We're going to do movies. And, you know, at that time, I'm thinking, like, you know, I kept it to myself. I never told him till later. I did tell him later on. But, you know, in my mind, when he was telling me all of that, I was like, that ain't happening. You know, like, you're right. You know, we're going to be doing movies, have a record label. We're going to have a church where we're going to have stars as members. We're going to know, you know. I mean, I was just thinking, like, yeah, right, that ain't going to happen. But I never told him that until we went to go bury his brother, and the funeral director was a prophet. And he actually prophesied. He spoke every single thing that Apostle had told me before we got married or right after we got married, every single thing that he told me. So from that moment on, you know, I was 110% on board with the vision. You know, any doubt that was in me, you know, God needed to remove the doubt, you know, because there was doubt, because when I first heard it, I didn't right away believe it, you know. So I had doubt, you know, and so God removed that doubt by the prophet speaking. Actually, every single thing that Apostle said to me, he said, you know. So from that moment on, I was 110% with the vision.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I didn't know. I mean, I was used to encounters with the Lord. You know, I've been having encounters with the Lord since I was adolescent age. You know, I've seen Jesus when I was, like, maybe 7 years old. And I've seen him, you know, a few times, you know, as you know, in my 20s. So I'm used to, at this point, encounters with God like that. So, you know, I didn't connect it with music or anything like that. You know, I mean, with movies. I just knew that the Lord, you know, had shown me that, and that, you know, that was something that he wanted me to teach people and to warn the people about the reality of his coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the pen to paper and writing New World Order, your first movie. Let's talk about that. And you know what? Then we're going to move in. I tell you what we're going to do is I'm going to give out the call-in numbers. And which is 909-265-9195, 909-265-9195. Call in. We want to hear from you and be a part of this awesome conversation. If God has directed you, have you had any dreams, you know, call us up, because that's what it's all about, inspiring you to walk into your purpose, to leap into your purpose, to do what the God-given things that God has put in your spirit. And we want to hear from you. Now is the time to really to get on board. It's been like a creative, I don't know what to say, a move of God that's happening now. And I'm seeing more people that are really, that have been blessed with the gift are now stirring up the gift. So you stir up your gift. Call us up, 909-265-9195, and call us up and talk to Lady Antoinette and Apostle Dwayne McCoy. You know, what we're going to do, I want you to talk about the pen to paper and penning your first movie, New World Order. But before I do that, I want to go to a music break. So we're just going to go to a short music break, and then we'll be right back. And we're going to go with my brother, Nivelle Peters. I'm so glad you're safe in Florida. I'm so glad that you're okay. And we're just going to go to hear some of the music by the anointed Mr. Nivelle Peters.
all the simple things. I could find so much joy, but somehow church always seemed too long.
I just want to share this about this young man. This young man is self-taught. and taught him, and he taught his own self to play, how to play the piano. And most importantly, he doesn't have the gift of sight. He doesn't have natural sight like you and I. So if he is just an exceptional, wonderful, talented, anointed minister of the gospel. And every time I hear that song, I always keep that song in my player because it is personal. And it always takes me back to that one-on-one. And I just love his music, love his voice. So, Nabel, we love you. Just sending out love to you wherever you are in Florida. I'm so glad you're safe. Be blessed, my brother. And we're back with the show. And tonight my guest is none other than Apostle Dwayne McCoy and Lady Antoinette McCoy of DNA Filmworks. And I am just so pleased to have them on the show with me. If you heard in the top of the hour, it just probably blew me, blew you, blew everybody away when she told us about that testimony she had about how they met. And I'm telling you, I got callers on the line. They're calling me just because of that, and we're going to go to them in a minute. But we're going to go back to the show because I want to talk to Apostle Dwayne and Lady Antoinette about how their first movie was pen to paper, New World Order, and a little bit about that and on their recent DNA Filmworks that was just recently in Philadelphia. So we're back on the line with Lady Antoinette and Apostle Dwayne McCoy. And Apostle, like I said, I have people calling in because of that testimony that Lady Antoinette gave. So we're going to get to them in a moment. But I want to talk a little bit about your first film, New World Order, and just talk about that for a moment and then segue into what you're doing to help other filmmakers as well with the DNA Film Expo.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll let my wife share. Start doing that. I'll go ahead and start that up.
Okay. Well, it's funny that you was talking about the young man who was the song you just played and how he's self-taught.
Yeah.
Well, Apostle is self-taught as well, you know, and because he didn't go to school for script writing, he didn't go to school for any of this that we're doing as far as filmmaking. He simply got online and Googled how to write a script and educated himself on how to do this when the Lord told us to, you know, do the movie. So he's pretty much self-taught, you know, and, I mean, he's very, very good at it. I've always told him that anyway because when we first got married, he used to doodle a lot. He used to write a lot, you know, and I would find papers all around the house and stuff with stuff that he's just writing. And I would read it, and I would be like, this man can write, you know. And I've always told him, I said, you can really write. You need to write a book. You need to do something. You can really, really write. And so, you know, he never paid too much attention to it. He heard me, though. But he never paid too much attention to it until we moved out here in 2009, and the Lord put in our heart to write a script for the movie. So he just, you know, educated himself on how to write a script. And I had already had the vision because he pulled the vision in me. I had already knew from over the years with the dreams he would come and share with the church and, you know, just everything that he would share with me that the Lord would show him. So, you know, I had the vision already in me. You know, he had, you know, shared it with me. And so when it was time to write the script, we had already knew what it was going to be about. So it was just a matter of him educating himself on how to properly put it in the right format. And from there, he just sat down and he did it. You know, I was there, of course, with him. And, you know, I would, you know, share with him some things and, you know, we would write together. But really, he's the lead writer on all these movies that the Lord has given him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a chance to witness and see the movie. Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness. New World Order. And if it was just taken straight out of the book of Revelation. And I want to tell you something else, too. Because, you know what? And I have to say this. When God gives you something, you better do it. Okay?
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it, he'll give it to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you this. Oh, my goodness, about 15 years ago, the Lord gave me this thing. When TVN first started, they weren't really doing a lot of Christian films. Mm-hmm. So I had some ideas, and I wrote a couple of treatments, and I sent into them, and, of course, one was not, I mean, one, and they, you know, it was, they sent the letter back that they weren't really doing long-range films and blah, 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 this. Well, fast forward a couple of years later, you know, one of the ideas, one of the concepts that I had, they did. And I missed the second, I missed it, because one of them was about an end-time prophecy, and it was the Revelation. And I'm going to tell you, even though I didn't do it, I'm telling you, even though I didn't do it, but that's okay, somebody did. So that's it's a witness to me that when God gives you something, you need to act on it.
Yeah, yeah, well, you do, you know, because if it's that appointed time for it, you know, God is obviously making provision for it, you know. So and I thank God for what he did with us because, again, when God is calling you to do it, you got to move because it's very important that you move, you know. We don't have the testimony of struggles with doing the film and struggles how to get the film done or, you know, God gave us the witty invention on how to pay for the film, you know, and how to get it done, where we actually did that movie out of our own pocket, debt-free.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
We did it debt-free, owing no one anything.
Well, you see, there goes again. Where there is vision, God will make provision, okay?
Yes, he did.
And you know what? And that's a beautiful thing. Well, look, let's go to the lines right now because I do have somebody waiting on the line. I would love to talk to both of you. And we're going to come to this call. We'll go to this caller, and, you know, they'll be on shortly. Then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about the DNA film work, okay? And because I believe you have some exciting news about that as well. All right?
There we do.
So we're going to go to the 732 area code. We're coming to you. Hello, you're on the Alicia Live Radio Show. Who do I have?
Hi, my name is Cynthia.
You're on? Yes. Mm-hmm.
How are you?
How are you,
Apostle McCoy?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, good. And you're into your wife. Greetings. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. I was actually just looking through my Facebook, and I saw, you know, a little blurb about, you know, relationships, and it doesn't take X amount of years to pop the question. So I said, oh, let me call in and talk, maybe talk a little bit about this because I've written an inspirational romance. And when I heard you speaking, you started talking about end times, and I was like, okay, Lord, this is the reason why you wanted me to call. It wasn't about romance. I'm single. I've never been married. I've been engaged. And I know a little something about love, I think, but I'm more concerned right now with end times, and I was listening to you, Apostle, talk about how you were given dreams as a child. Well, I'm 50 years old. I'm born in 1965, even though I look 25.
Amen.
You know, before I was 5 years old, let me just give you a little bit of history about me. I didn't grow up in church at all. I had a father who was a very serious alcoholic and had some even mental issues now that I, you know, found out as I'm older. He was very mentally abusive to my mother, who basically raised herself because her mom died at six 6 months old. So she never had a mom. She had a grandmother for a little while, and she had a father for a little bit less than that little while. And so, you know, this is the situation that I'm born into. So before I'm 5 years old, you know, God is talking to me. He's speaking to me. And I've always loved flowers. I am a flower person. I'm sitting here on my porch now looking at my beautiful flowers I planted. And I would, as a child, before 5 years old, we had a rose bush on the side of our house, and I would meticulously take the buds and unwrap. You know how many little petals are in the buds when you unwrap and unwrap and unwrap? And I would get so many, and I would throw them up in the air and say, God, these are for you. I don't even know how. Well, I do now. I know now that God elected me before I came to the earth, but I didn't know that at 3 and 4 years old. So I'm throwing these flower petals up in the air saying, God, these are for you, these are for you. And at the same time, God is giving me revelation dreams at that young age. I see myself as a grown woman in revelation, but I don't know what it is. I think I'm just having these horrific nightmares, and I would always try to tell my mom about it. But how does a 3 or 4 year old articulate that, hey, mommy, I keep dreaming that the world is ending by fire, water, or a dragon, and I keep telling you this, and I dream this over and over and over for years and years. When I was 6 years old, I was on my way to school, and I was being bullied by a boy in my neighborhood, and he was bothering me that morning on the way to school. And again, I didn't think I knew the Lord, but he definitely knew me. I got 70. You know what kind of cars they made back in 1970? Big, gigantic metal cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am knocked up. I got hit by a car on my way to school, knocked up in the air. When I say knocked up in the air, I remember going up in the air and coming down on the ground, and I was in a sitting position, sitting up straight. And there was not a mark on my body.
Wow.
Skinny little girl. So back then they didn't have the rule where, you know, they have to take you on the body board to the hospital or whatever. The ambulance didn't come in enough time. They put me in the back of a police car and put on the siren, and they took me to East Orange General Hospital in North Jersey. And all these doctors are surrounding me, all these Caucasian doctors, because we're still in the civil rights movement. And I'm this little brown girl sitting there, and they're like, honey, are you sure you got hit by a car? And I'm like, yes, I got hit by a car. Well, to make a long story short, what I've learned since I began having those dreams that, you know, I went through my years of partying and doing me and doing everything that kids do and trying and this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Cindy, we're going to have to wrap it up just a little bit. So do you have a question for Apostle McCoy and Lady Antoinette?
I just wanted to kind of share with them, you know, that's a confirmation that, you know, that these type of things are going on and people are having the same dreams. And, you know, I know that it's not a coincidence, you know what I mean, that those links are being put together. I believe that God is showing us and wanting to prepare us. Why he showed me that early, I don't know. But every day I just feel like something darker is getting closer.
That's true,
and it's
though.
Right in our faces. So I would love to see the movie. Where can you see the movie?
It's available on iTunes. You can Google anywhere online and get it.
Okay, and it's called New World Order.
Mm-hmm. The end has come. New World Order.
And that ain't no lie. All righty. Well, can I ask you guys one question before I go?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about this election? Do you think that this election is being used to definitely usher in what is about to happen?
I think so. Well, you know, I think so. I mean, the Bible says that, the scripture projects that the end times are upon us, you know, I mean, without getting too deep into it. My take on it is that you know, pretty much like the scripture says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, you know, it's to be expected that, you know, whoever becomes the president, it doesn't matter, there's going to be a decline in morality.
Decline is already happening. I'm a teacher, and when they start telling me children about same sex and this, that, and the other, I will refuse, and I will probably be out of work. So I'm believing God to open up a door of entrepreneurship because I can't do it. I will never sell a child's soul. But I don't think that this president is leaving. Now, we can mark this day, and we can see what happens in November, but if that is the case, then you'll be like, okay, well, that lady did say that. That's just my take on it. That's my take.
Okay. Cynthia, we thank you so much for calling.
All right.
So that you can listen to the rest of the show. And you go ahead and you write that book, okay? We want to hear from you, okay?
Yeah, my book is already published. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I was just looking at this scripture here, Acts 2:17, and it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and old men dream dreams. And it don't have to physically mean old, but old, mature, and in the spirit. And you know what I mean? And God does speak to us through visions and dreams. I do believe that. And, you know, and with your testimony, Apostle, how God spoke to you was so divine and, you know, it ushered in so many things, just like writing the script, the New World Order.
Yeah.
And now helping filmmakers, new filmmakers, move into their purpose. Talk about the DNA film that you just had Expo in Philadelphia. And by the way, I have a good friend of yours, and you knew him, Nakia Dillon, sends his regards from I Can Act. Shout out to everybody over at I Can Act in Philadelphia. And talk about the Expo, will you?
Okay. Well, the Expo was pretty much, the purpose of it was to expose people who are interested in the industry to the industry and to educate aspiring directors, producers, actors, screenplay writers, you know, cinematographers, people that just have an interest in the arts of making a film. You know, we wanted to start something that where people could get educated on that. Not to say that we're starting anything because it's tons of film festivals, but our vision is a little bit different. You know, we believe in really opening doors and getting people connected, you know, and not just you know, putting on something just to put it on, you know. Let my wife see it.
Right.
Go ahead, but you take it.
Yeah, and I like what you said. We're really getting people connected because that's one of the major things that a lot of reviews we was getting back about the Expo on how people actually made true connections, you know, with professionals in the industry. We had television executives there from Parable and Uplift TV. We have actors come from Atlanta that's doing major stuff down there on Atlanta Live, you know, screenwriters that came from out here from Arizona. You know, people making great connections. And there was also some films that was picked up for distribution through the film festival. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our Expo Film Festival, we want it to be where people can, you know, really propelled into their career of filmmaking.
And it's hard as it is out there, you know, really, you don't have a catalyst to get you into certain areas, it ain't going to happen, you know what I mean? And so, you know, we want to be that catalyst to really get people, you know, out there into, you know, people who want to do it big, you know? And so, you know, I mean, we are actually, you know, developing our Hollywood movie. We're still in development. It takes a while to develop those kind of movies. But, I mean, we know that guys is going to you know, we're going to have a presence in Hollywood and making Hollywood films to God's glory. And so, you know, our expo is designed to connect people to what we're connected to and who want to really do great things on a grand level for the Lord, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now, do you plan on having this event on a yearly basis, or are you just taking it from city to city? What's the plan for the expo?
The plan is for it to be a yearly basis, an annual event. And the location we want from now is Philly. Philadelphia is where DNA in Philly is going to go down.
All right. So we're going to have something in Philadelphia that we're going to look forward to going to on a yearly basis. And I can't wait for next year, because this year I was in Las Vegas at a family event, and I didn't get a chance to go, but hopefully next year I'll be able to attend. Now, we have to understand that, like I said, the Lord is just increasing and increasing your vision and everything, and now you add the new vision to DNA Films with Holy Child Records, and you have artists that are signed to the roster. Would you like to, who's going to talk about this? Is this who should I
go
to? Lady or
Bob? I'll start it out, and then let me tag her in. I mean, well, actually, Holy Child Gospel, which we'll say HCG, existed back in 2001. We started that label years ago. You know, we've been doing that. We've been doing, the music thing for, like, man, years. It's like 2001.
Yeah.
It's just that we had, you know, a lot of ups and downs with it in trying to get people, you know, to commit themselves, you know, or either we just had a lot of challenges with it. And so, you know, after we moved out here to Arizona, we put on a couple of conventions called the Arizona Gospel Conventions. We did it twice, and they were both successful conventions. We brought in radio announcers, popular from you know, really, really established radio announcers who came in and to basically, you know, we did like a challenge show where, you know, kind of like the X Factor or like what do you call it, American Idol type thing, and you know, to basically, you know, get people involved in music and help educate people. The same thing we did with the expo, you know, plugging people in with the truth and everything, help get their questions answered or whatever. You know what I mean? So we did that 2 years in a row. When we established great relationships with radio announcers, and one particular radio announcer, her name is Tracy, who we established a great relationship with her. She actually was actually out here. She came to our film expo and was one of the presenters at our award show. So, I mean, great things came out of it that's benefiting us today, you know, relationships that benefit us today. And so that was like a struggle, you know, for years. And so then the Holy Spirit, you know, in 2009, told us not to do the convention for music and to get into film. And that's when we got into film. And so we went from there and started working on the project, New World Order. And then we haven't done a convention for gospel since. And so film has been our primary beat, you know what I mean, until the Lord turned around and blessed us with an artist, you know, out of nowhere. Tawana's in there, you know what I mean? And then through her, another young lady came. And so, next you know, out of nowhere, while we're in the midst of doing that thing with film, we got, you know, the Lord sent us two artists, you know. So now we're working both businesses, the record company and the film company together at the same time.
Yeah, but like you say, we've been establishing that music for years, you know, and it all goes back to when he told me in 1998, he was like, we're going to have a record label, a film company, and all of that, and it's going to take some time to establish it, but eventually we're going to be running them all at the same time. And so when we was in Philly last year in November 2015, we signed the paperwork for us to have the expo at the Marriott Hotel. But while we was there in Philly, we was approached by Tawana, the singer, about working with her on a project. So, you know, we completely forgot about that once we got back to Arizona. But a couple weeks later,
after being home, the Holy Spirit brought Tawana back to our attention, and we contacted Tawana. And so, you know, and from there we started working from her. We went to go hear her sing. We thought, oh, she's good enough for us to work with. And turn around, Tawana is from Philly too. She's from Philadelphia and live right out here in Arizona.
Yeah, isn't that something? Some good talent in Philly.
Yeah.
Great talent.
Actually,
she's right out here in South Philly.
And on top of that, Tawana's daughter actually sought us out for Tawana because she saw the movie, New World Order. And then listened to the credits, you know, listened to the music, the soundtrack with the credits. And then, you know, she was impressed with that, the movie and everything. And then she took the information, man, and tracked us down and found out who we were. And then pretty much plugged us in with her mother, you know what I mean? Set up a meeting with her mother. It took months to happen, but it happened. You know, so that's how the Lord used the movie to actually find, you know, you can say our artist came through the movie.
Yeah, it did, because Tawana was the first one to see the movie, and she turned her daughter on to the movie. And then her daughter watched, and she loved that song, The Messiah, in the closing credits. She loved it so much, she wanted to know who did that. And then, to her surprise, when she researched, she found out we was right here in Arizona where she was at, you know. And so she made that connection, and that was all she wrote, you know, once we got back home and connected with Tawana. And then through Tawana, that's where Sonya Shockley came. Tawana then told us, I know someone else, you know, that I think you guys should look at. And so we auditioned Sonya. She came in and auditioned for us, and then we signed Sonya. So now, as running the expo, we were setting up the expo and now working with two artists at the same time. So now we have the church, the record label, and the film company that we're running all at the same time right now.
Right.
And when did
you
find time to sleep?
Go ahead, Lisa. What did you say there?
When did you find time to sleep?
We sleep when we can. for real. I mean, we sleep like everybody else. I mean, we get 8 hours sleep pretty much.
Yeah,
sometimes we get little sleep, but that's rare. For the most part, we get sleep, you know, like everybody else. We just, you know, everything we run, you know, our business is run from our home, you know. Everything's pretty much online, you know. I mean, a lot of social media work, a lot of, you know, online work, you know, making connections and stuff like that, you know, phone.
The times when we have to record, we have our own studio in our home. We have a recording studio.
We record here, so, you know, everything's in-house kind of like, you know.
And our babies are homeschooled, so that's a good thing.
So we get up, you know, typical morning for us or day for us. We'll get up, have breakfast, you know, we'll work on whatever we're working on all day, or we'll work on several things, not several, but a couple of things. Like half a day might be working on something that got to do with the movie. Another half will be something with the music and, you know, or, you know, like that, you know, kind of like just juggling things and just working both at the same time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Sonya Shockley, you brought some new music from this artist, and we have a song entitled Just For Me. Now, would you just tell me just briefly a little bit about that and introduce the song so that we can premiere it for our listening audience to hear?
Good, babe.
Well, Sonya Shockley, Just For Me, a song written and produced by Apostle McCoy. He did the music and wrote the lyrics. And it's basically a song talking about God the Father sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for us, you know. And that's basically what the song is about. So when you hear the song, just think about, you know, God the Father and what he has done by sending Jesus Christ into the world. You know, simple. That's it. Just For Me.
Well, here we have Just For Me by Sonya Shockley.
You became a baby all the way from heaven. sorrow and pain, rejected by me. On the cross you were left to die. They watched the blood flow from your side. You took all the pain. Thank you.
Well, you have just heard Just For Me by Sonia Shockley, and that was recorded on the label of Holy Child Gospel Records, and it is a division of DNA Filmworks. Well, you know, we have about 5 minutes to go, and I really enjoyed listening to Sonia. I wish her all the best. And I just, you know, want to continually say Godspeed to both you and Lady Antoinette and Apostle McCoy. And I just want to give the last maybe 4 minutes of the show just for you a chance to really bless the people and say a blessing to those who really want to get into their purpose, those who have aspirations to do what you need to do, that you're doing. And just speak into them, would you please?
Go ahead, Apostle.
Oh, well, what can I say? Well, when it comes down to anything that someone believes that God is calling them to do, the thing is to just do it. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to take faith, and our part is to believe God and to step out so that the Holy Spirit can make things come to fruition. I say that with caution at the same time, because either you want to go out and just do something based upon mere, you know, belief of that you're supposed to be doing a certain thing. But if you know what God is telling you to do, and that's what really matters, what is the will of God for your life? You know, and prosperity is like inevitable when you walk in your true purpose for what God has for you, because things will work for you. When you work, when you walk outside of that purpose and you try to dictate terms to God what you should be or want to be, then you're going to have issues, because God already has a set plan and things pretty much laid out for you, mapped out for you, what he wants you to do. And that's where success really comes in. It just so happens to be that my wife and I have a call to, you know, make films, you know, and that this is something that God put in our spirit. But it wasn't something that we just conjured up and just decided at the last minute we want to do, or just, oh, I want to do that, oh, I want to do that. But, you know, so it's important, you know, that you know what your calling is, and then you go forth in it. If it's to be, if it's something we have to do with entertainment and the entertainment business, then educate yourself, and then, you know, with prayer, carefully seeking God, make steps, and then Lord will make it come to fruition. But that's just anything. That's not just movie making, that's anything. Anything you want to add to that, baby?
No, absolutely. I think you pretty much said it all. And we're available for anyone if they want to reach out and ask us any kind of questions. Just reach out to us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it is.
Well, you know, it has been so delightful having the both of you on the show. And I just want to end by telling this funny story. About a week ago, I'm driving on Route 38 going towards the mall. And I see this van in front of me that says DNA Filmworks. I'm going like, DNA Filmworks? So I drive on the side, and who could it be but Lady Antoinette and a guy. And I'm like, never forget, but I want to wish both of you continued success and Godspeed in all that you do, and the Lord will bless the fruits of your labor. And I can't wait until you come back to Philadelphia. And I think me and you, Lady Antoinette, we still have to do our coffee and dessert. We're going to get that in, okay?
We are. And, you know, we'll be back a lot sooner than you think. We didn't get a chance to talk about the blessing God bless us with, a young lady that's going to give us $1 million to do New World Order 2. So we will be doing New World Order 2, and we will be doing it
some of it in the Philadelphia area, some of it in the Philadelphia area. So that will be going forth, just to let you know, because you came all the way up to New Jersey and to audition for New World Order 2 and Apostle. I did not forget that. Actually,
yes,
that was a conversation him and I had about you not too long ago. So just to let you know.
Well, I'm so thankful that God has brought me before you and brought me into your remembrance. You know, please don't forget about that. God is opening some doors in that area, you know, my aspirations. And I believe that when you pay, if you make one step, he'll make you. You just have to get out there and do it. Just believe God and leave it to your purpose.
Yeah.
If anybody out there listening, there's no reason that you can't do what they're doing. What I'm doing,
right,
because it's all about you to make a concerted effort and to get out there and
mm-hmm.
release someone. To get out there.
Amen.
Well, it's wonderful, and I can't wait till the next time. We got to do a part two show. I scheduled an hour, and I said, you know what, let me put some more time. We're going to do 90 minutes because I know that we can fill it up. And I'm so glad to have the Apostle, Dwayne McCoy, and Lady Well, I am so glad that you have had a chance to tune in to the show. It has been such a blessing to have you in. And we noticed that there have been some issues with our chat room because I know that Regina said that she couldn't log in. And I'm going to, and I emailed Blog Talk Radio so that they can get this situation resolved. And I'm hoping that we'll have it resolved. So I am on a moderated chat room at this particular time. So what we're going to do is we're going to move forward. And I just want to give shout-outs to my girl, Regina Rain Tatum. Shout-out to everyone over at ICANN Films. And, you know, you can. You can do it all. It's a matter of leap, running, jump. Just get into the act of being in your purpose. I want to say to all of my social media partners, God bless you, and we'll see you back again next week. And as always, I pray that the sun smiles down on you and the wind is at your back. Have a blessed rest of your weekend, and we'll see you again. We'll be right back.